This is the fourth in our six-part series looking at the values that we are committing to as a church. So we've considered how we are a loving and a growing and a welcoming community. And we're going on to think about how we are a serving community today, and a learning community and a praying community. There we go. That was a test. if you receive our newsletter, then I wrote a little bit more about this in the newsletter this week, thinking about how these last three values in particular are quite practical in their application. They kind of require us to do some things. I mean, all of them do, but these three in particular. Now, that's not to say that we're not doing things already. We very much are, particularly in terms of serving. These values are don't only represent who we are now. They're also about who we are wanting to become, but they're very much based in reality. It's not as if we are not a serving community and we're suddenly going to become one. That is not the case at all. We are very much a serving community. So we're just going to have a little exercise to encourage each other in how we are all serving, because it can sometimes feel when we are involved in our particular part of church ministry or out in the world indeed, because both of them are part of being a serving community, and I'll come on to that a bit later. It can feel like we're working away in our part of the field, as it were, and that perhaps we might feel a little bit alone, that other people, there aren't many people in the field. But most of us here, many of us, vast majority, are serving in some way. So just as an encouragement, let's have a show of hands. Now, some of the people that are serving in these areas are not here today for whatever reason. And also the first one where I'm going to ask people to raise their hands if they're involved with our children and young people. Obviously, we have people serving our children and young people as we speak, so they're not able to raise their hands. But if you are involved in any way in serving our children and young people, would you raise your hands? Wonderful. Lots of people. And though those of you that are not able to serve practically, remember those prayer pointers that were sent out this week, we can all be praying. Okay, who serves midweek? Who leads prayer meetings, crackpots, is involved in pastoral care? There's a few people. Yeah. Who helps look after the buildings? The property committee, out help with maintenance. I've put furniture management. There's a lot of furniture management in this church. We move a lot of chairs and tables. Giving access to the building, all those things. Anything to do with the building. Can you put your hand up? There we are. Got a few people helping with that. And then serving on a Sunday. These are the people that are probably most visible. You don't necessarily see those people that we've put their hands up, but serving on Sunday morning. So people that are on the servery row to help with IT, help with welcome, worship, prayers, reading, family message, people who count the money on a Sunday morning. Could you all put your hands up? Lots of people. I'm noticing how some people are putting their hands up for lots of things. This is quite interesting. Okay, and then those that serve, again, slightly behind the scenes sometimes, with leadership and administration. The leadership team, those who help with admin, publicity, safeguarding, and finance. There we are. There's a few of them as well. Okay, but what about outside of the church? Would you like to put your hand up if you care for someone? That can be care for someone younger than you. Perhaps you care for a spouse. Perhaps you care for a parent. Perhaps you care for a neighbour or a friend. So anybody here who has caring responsibilities and serve other people with caring. All the parents should have their hands up. This is very weird. Thank you. Yeah, you care for your children? Oh, my husband's not got his hand up. It's like worrying. He does a lot of caring. Okay, so not paid caring, just caring, you know? Okay, right. Okay, and put your hands up if you volunteer for an organization outside of church at some point in your life. Yep, one or two. Interesting. And those of you that serve others in your friendships and your work, in your streets, anything like that. Who serves others? Lots of you. Yes. Right. Okay, there's lots of service already going on. Very broad. We're thinking about this in the broadest possible terms. So we have three readings this week. Quite a lot of scripture to get our hands, get our heads around. And we started in the book of James. Now, the book of James makes it very clear that what we do is a that what we do as a result of our faith, rather than just what we believe in our heads, demonstrates that we are followers of Christ. He really doesn't mince his words. This is what Derek read. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, we've already considered how we are a loving community. And serving others is really faith in action, is love in action. Serving others, whatever ways our circumstances allow us to do that, is a sign of living and growing faith. Now, as you may or may not know, James's emphasis on the work of faith, works rather than faith, has caused controversy over the course of church history. Luther, in particular, was very concerned about the difference between James's teaching on works and Paul's teaching on faith. However, even Luther concluded that James was a divinely inspired piece of scripture, and this is how one commentator puts it. While faith is a requirement for our salvation, works confirm the authenticity of our faith. In our culture, authenticity is really important. Walking the walk, doing the hard yards, being who you say you are. Those that say one thing and do something else are not only criticized in scripture by Jesus quite a lot, that's an understatement, but our society holds them to account as well. Hypocrisy, a lack of authenticity, is really frowned upon in our culture, and rightly so. Our authenticity counts inside the church with one another and also outside of the church. In both places, we're called to be Jesus's hands and feet, to follow his example, as Daisy demonstrated to us in the family talk and how we have been singing in our worship. Our loving service to others is actually a way of loving God by obeying his commandments. It is a response to the fact that he has first loved us. We talked about this when we were talking about being a loving community. We love others because he first loved us. And we serve others because he showed us by his life and his ministry that he is the servant king, the one who came to serve. Most famously, we see that teaching in the as he washes his disciples' feet at the Lord's Supper. And that was shocking to them. And it's quite astounding to us that the person who came to save us also serves us. But he also calls us as his servants to do the same. This loving of God by obeying his commandments demonstrates to those inside and outside the church that we're loving and welcoming both other values that we are committing to. The second passage we looked at was from 1 Peter. And Peter's writing to the Jewish diaspora churches in the Roman Empire, urging them to serve one another. For Peter, both hospitality and service are ways of loving others deeply. Here again, we see this interplay between loving and welcoming and serving. As we often say, actions speak louder than words. And that's particularly true. When we looked at being a loving community, we looked at different love languages that people have. Those of us that particularly receive love through acts of service. This is really important. If someone just says something kind to us, it doesn't mean quite so much as actually doing something for us or with us, an act of service. For some people, that's really important. Peter is clear, as Paul is in the passage in Ephesians that we'll come on to, that we all have different gifts. So service will look different for each of us. Some of us would not be a blessing to the church if someone gave us a screwdriver to mend something. Or others would be terrified if they were asked to come up and do the Bible reading or to speak in any way in public. But each of us do have our gifts, natural talents and abilities, and spiritual ones, as we learnt about last year. And part of our discipleship, part of our following of Jesus, part of our living out of our faith, we need to know what our gifts are and then use them. How we do so may change as our life and our circumstances change. Perhaps at one point you actively helped with their youth and children's work, and now you commit to praying for them as the next generation do that practical work that you can no longer physically do. Our service might change, but we don't have any license from Scripture for it to cease altogether. Peter also encourages us and recognises that service requires strength. I love the reality of this. He says this. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides. Serving others takes up our energy, our time, our resources that, quite honestly, we could use elsewhere. And it's not a call for us to never rest, to never look after ourselves, or to run ourselves dry in the service of others. That is not what God is calling us to. But this passage reminds us that we can draw on God's strength of mind and body to serve him when serving others. And in doing so, we're making the choice to allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen and empower us so that we can give God glory. We're not always going to have that strength in ourselves, but we can testify to how God has given us the strength in lots of different situations, perhaps particularly in caring for others in our daily lives. It takes strength, those of us that are parents. It takes strength if we're looking after those in our family as they get older. All of these things take strength, sometimes strength that we don't think we have ourselves, but we can rely upon God to give us the strength that we need, and that is to his glory, not for our own. The reason for our service to others inside and outside the church is not for our own merit. Peter's really clear about that. He's saying that this strength that we're given is so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Works authenticate faith, but God loves us regardless. Rather, we're not trying to earn God's love or earn others' approval by our service. Instead, it's for God. We've sung that this morning. He deserves the glory. He deserves the honour. We're giving him the honour in acting in service to other people. And this can be a challenge. We're all human. We all can become proud. We can all have our motives mixed. That is part of being human. It's also a challenge when we're serving those outside the church, because we need to make sure that our motive is clear to those that we are serving. Our work as a church in serving the community has to have some gospel clarity and purpose. It cannot merely be good works. So, for example, Illuminate, which is our youth group that is community-facing, has a lot of young people from the community that don't come and worship with us, always has Bible teaching on a Friday evening. And the toddler group that we're going to start up is going, I'm thinking through how we can make sure that that is clearly a group run by the church. It's an opportunity, there are gospel opportunities within that provision that's needed in the local community. So if someone asks you why you help out with a group in the community, why you are part of a voluntary organisation, do you tell them that it's because you're a Christian and that you're demonstrating God's love? There's an evangelistic opportunity. It can make us feel really quite awkward in this increasingly secular society. But we have to have the confidence that it is the gospel that saves and is most needed, even when other needs are also being met by what we're doing. Finally, in Ephesians, the last passage that we looked at, we come back to this idea I preached on this passage earlier on in the year, that each of us have different gifts. We've already learned about these gifts of apostleship, of prophecy, of evangelism, of pastoring and teaching. And of course, we've also learned that there are many, many other spiritual gifts that are taught about in the New Testament. What is important today is that we notice the purpose of these gifts. They're to equip the people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Our vision statement as a church takes up this theme. We say that we seek to serve God by sharing the love of God in the community at large and to nurture and equip one another to do so. And as the body is built, as the body of Christ, as the church is built up, that means encouraged, it means also that it's growing. This building needs faith and knowledge. And we're going to get that from being a learning community. So it links in to another one of our values. In committing to being a serving community, we're committing to the work. We're committing to the graft. We're committing the strength, the time, the resources that we have that enable us to be able to say that we are then a loving and welcoming community. Being a learning community will help us to serve better, and being a praying community means that we're all able to take part in that. We're all able to pray in different ways. Every single one of us can serve in that way, regardless of our age, our location, our physical strength. Being a serving community shows each other and those outside the church that our faith really matters, that it makes a difference to how we act and behave. So, how can you serve? Many of you put your hands up, many of you are already serving, but if you're not, or if you feel you have more capacity to serve, perhaps it'd be a good idea for us to share some of the ways, some of the needs that we have as a community. Now, often people say to me, oh, you can't just tell people you need, you need to ask people specifically. People, you're all adults. You can volunteer for things. You can say, I have that gift, I have that time, I have that resource, use me to do this thing. So our service should come really from something that we're interested, a passion. You know, otherwise we just get fed up with it. You know, if you really hate doing DIY, then don't volunteer to help with the building. If you really struggle to relate to a certain age group, don't offer to work with them. If you, are not someone that, is great with music, don't come and join the worship team. Let's do things that align with our passion and the things that we are interested in, because that will then bring us joy. And we also need to think about our gifting, and the same kind of rules apply, really. And we need to be meeting a need, and we need to think about our availability and our commitment. It's most helpful if people commit in the long term to helping. Not forever, not until, you know, you can't do it anymore and, you know, it, for decades and decades. And if the time commitment is hard, the length of time commitment, then agree, you know, oh, I'm going to do this for a year and then I'm going to see. Or I'm going to do this for 6 months and I'm going to see. You know, put in that review. We never want people to be serving because they've always served and, you know, I'm needed so I can't stop serving. That's not that's not the deal. Because our lives change, our passions change. God's calling on our lives change. When we're asking, how can we serve? It's something that we need to go to God about. We need to ask him, how do you want me to serve? In the church and in the rest of my life, in my community. How am I already serving? I think lots of you don't realize that you're already serving. So ask God to show you and call you to do something new, perhaps. Sometimes we need that nurturing that the vision statement talks about. We need someone to come alongside us and encourage us, someone to train us and equip us to be able to do something. Sometimes in certain roles in the church, we also need some more formal training. So we might need food safety training. We might need safeguarding training. We might need first aid training. We might need actually formal things to happen, as well as anything with children, young people, and older adults, and other adults at risk. Always need us to be trained in safeguarding. We need to check DBS. We want to be, we haven't said that we're a safe community, but that should go without saying. So we can't always just say, oh, I want to help with this, and the next week we're helping with it. Sometimes there are some processes that we have to follow. But just some areas of current need. There's always need to work with our children and young people. It's an area of growth for us as a church. We are seeing more and more families come and to join us, and that means that they're bringing their children and their young people, and that is an incredible joy. We are so unbelievably blessed with the number of children and young people. But in order for us to serve and for that ministry to go well, we need people to serve. There's a need for our hospitality team as well, particularly those that can take a bit of a lead in that. As we look, not just in the servery on Sundays, but if we want to have fellowship meals together, if we want to increase our welcome around food, then we need people to help with that. There's a massive need for help with the premises. This building, the buildings that we have been given by previous generations, are in need of a lot of work. We need to help in maintaining them, in managing the maintenance of them when we work with outside contractors, letting people in and closing up after hires, moving furniture around, you know, odd jobs around, and also just with hall hire, with the administration of that work. Something a little less. And with all these things, you can do as much or as little as your lives allow. You know, we want people to give in proportion to what they can do, not what they can't do. We give out of, just like in our financial giving, we give out of what we have, not out of what we don't have. We're given strength, but we have to have the availability and the time already. One of the needs that we have that's a really simple thing that I'm sure almost everybody here could do is to count the money after the surveys. Our rota for counting money is really lacking in people. And the more people we have doing that, the more the less time you have to do it. It's as simple as that. And it just involves literally counting the money. If you can count the money in your purse, you can help. You're not doing it on your own. There's someone else, so you know there's no risk involved. And it takes, I don't know, how long does it take? 10 minutes? 15 minutes? 15 minutes. 5 minutes? 5 minutes! 5 minutes! So speak to Jyoti. Wave Jyoti if you want to do that. Please, please. We'd love to have more people reading scripture in our services. We'd love to have more people helping with intercessions. So if that's something on your heart, come and talk to me. And I talked at church meeting last Sunday about starting up our toddler group again. I've already got a fair number of volunteers in different ways, but I'd love more help with that. And I was talking to someone from Hartsmere Borough Council this week about other ways we can use the building and share and serve the community. And for that, we need people to help. Do come and talk to me about that. And if there's something that you want to start, Delphine's a really good example of this. it is separate to the church, but some people from the church go, and it's certainly using our space and serving the community. She had a passion for table tennis, passion for women's fitness and well-being, and so she started up her own table tennis club in our building, and we were supporting her with that in lots of different ways. And so if there's something that God has on your heart, come and talk to me and see if we can make that happen. Next week, we're learning about being a learning community. We can't serve all of the time. One of the issues that we particularly have with our children and young people, where those that serve go out of the service, is that they don't get to be as part of a learning community as much as the rest of us do. And if there's more people on the rota, they can be actually have a Sunday off where they're not actually out with the children. So by all of us serving together, we then enable us to truly be a learning community as well. So hopefully there's lots to think about. Hopefully I'll have lots of conversation with people in the coming weeks as we think and pray through the practical application of serving one another, serving in the church, but also serving out in the local community. I haven't even really touched on that as much as I could. Not just us as a church serving the community. I promise you that any of the food banks and many other charitable organisations in Boreham would absolutely love it if each of us as members of the community volunteered some of our time there as well, if we've got that time. So, and they're places where we can be up front. They can become our front lines. They can become people that we know who we can share the gospel with. So that's something else to be thinking about. But we're just going to pray now, and then we're going to finish our service by singing Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You, as a kind of prayer of commitment to serving one another. And we're going to take up our offering during that time, another way of serving, by giving from our financial resource. So let's just pray together. And then we're going to sing together. Lord Jesus, we just want to recognize you as the servant king, the one who came to serve us. And it is you that we're following. It's you that life we are trying to follow after. Lord, sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we've served for a long time in different ways and we feel tired. Sometimes we get to a place even where we are resentful of the service that we have to give to others. And for any of us that feel that way, Lord, I just pray that you would fill us once again with your Holy Spirit, that you would come alongside us, that we would be encouraged, that you would speak to us about that you would show us what you are truly calling us to and what perhaps has been laid upon us, that you would give us the courage to follow that thing that you're calling us to, the courage to lay down, the courage to perhaps change tack. I pray for those of us that haven't quite found where we can serve you yet. Pray that we would have the courage to take the time to understand the gifts that we have, the calling that you've put on our lives, that we too, in prayer, would seek after you for that sense of what we can give. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for everyone that serves in different ways in this church, in our local community, in our families and our workplaces, amongst our neighbours and our friends. That as we serve others, you would keep our eyes fixed on you. That we would serve out of service to you. That we would serve out of a response to your love. That we would serve out of the strength that you give us by the Holy Spirit. let us remember the prayer in the book of Hebrews. It says, let us not get weary in doing good. Lord, strengthen us. Give us the energy and the resilience that we need. And Lord, for all those areas of church life where perhaps there are not enough people, we just give them to you. And we ask that you would call your people. You would call people we don't even know yet to come and to fill that need. Just as you fulfill each of the needs in our lives, just as you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider in every aspect of our lives, so you are that for this church too. And so we trust to your provision. In Jesus' name, amen.